T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and lift off.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the tiger.
Hello and welcome to episode number 33 of the Being Brilliant radio show. This is Amy Hackett-Jones, your host. I am a happiness and high performance coach and hypnotist for being brilliant in the way you both live and lead your life and those around you. You can find me at www.amyhackett.jones.com. The Being Brilliant radio show is a deep and impactful look at what it takes to be brilliant. The show invites you, our listeners, to step into the very essence of who you are being as you show up to life. Now, my guests bring a combination of inspirational teachings coupled with practical tools and essential life and leadership skills translated into actionable strategies so that you, our listeners, may step into being the very best version of yourselves. My interviewees are high performers, thought leaders, game changers, pioneers, dreamers, adventurers, wayseers, visionaries, as well as friends and family, those whom I believe live brilliantly and who travel magically through life, shining their own light so others may do the same. And today I have Dr. Martina Zork on the line. Martina, I met probably about 2.5 years ago at a conference in Florence. And we've been in touch on and off ever since. I reached out to her just recently because she has the most incredible story and blew my socks off when I first spoke to her. She is a multi-passionate entrepreneur and business owner and is over the moon grateful for the freedom of choice, creativity, and growth and potential that being an entrepreneur and running several businesses brings. And she also happens to be one of the coolest people I know. She has a PhD in international outer space law. Yes, you heard that right. International outer space law. And so before we bring her on the line, I just wanted to say that she's using this, her international outer space law, to bring about peace on earth, and she is very much a girl after my own heart in that respect. As you know, my nickname is the Peace Whisperer. So I'm going to bring Martina on now. We're going to talk about international outer space law. We're going to talk about business because she also is a mentor to people in business, entrepreneurs particularly. So Martina, welcome to the show. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Hi, Amy. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here and I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Yay! As I mentioned, you just absolutely blew my socks off when we first met in Florence and talking about international outer space law and the work that you're doing to make international outer space law actually possible. So I would like to talk with you a little bit about your story and how on earth you even got to this place of thinking about outer space, international outer space law. What was your journey to this?
Sure. I'd love to share that. So first of all, thank you so much for this amazing introduction. I wouldn't exactly say that I'm the one making space law possible because it's a field of international public law that is already alive and well, although it's less developed probably than other fields of law because it's newer, it's younger. It started in the 50s and 60s of the 20th century. But for sure, it's a pioneering field. And I'm very, very excited to be able to be part of the next chapter. Hopefully, yep. I will do everything I can to contribute to the thought leadership that will eventually lead, I hope, to a more certain regulation when it comes to outer space law on the international level, and then that leaks down into domestic space laws worldwide. And the reason, as you mentioned, is that that can potentially have a huge impact on peace on Earth and beyond, especially because there is huge wealth in asteroids, let's say. I just saw an article, a recent article in the Wall Street Journal, and if I recall correctly, one asteroid is supposed to have $25 to $50 billion worth of platinum and other, you know, worthy minerals. So there will be companies, there will be countries that will go after these, you know, treasures. And if the law doesn't regulate how to really navigate the different opportunities and how to distribute the benefits, because right now on the international level, all the international treaties are talking about is the benefit sharing, but the benefits are not specified anywhere. So there's a lot of uncertainty still. And so we do want to prevent another, arms race in space, for sure. Because, on paper, it's all alive and well, but it's also true that international law doesn't really have that ultimate enforcer, right, that would make sure that everything is respected. So we do need to be, as a society, we do need to be conscious of what could happen and make sure that we develop our laws in a way that leads to prosperity and not potential wars, right? At least that's my belief. And I'm trying to, with the business that I'm about to launch in this space, in this arena, right? And I really much want to get businesses on board this idea that they can be incredibly profitable, incredibly wealthy, and grow exponentially, and at the same time pledge to share a portion of the benefits for the benefit of all mankind. So I know it might sound a bit utopian, but this is a totally new realm for us, because just now, space tourism is becoming more mass market, and we know all the amazing advancements that space exploration and, companies like Elon Musk, SpaceX, and all of these different companies are making so that we can eventually venture to Mars and to other, planets and possibly colonize space. But it's really something that we cannot just look away as a society, and we need to find the right balance between business and profitability, and at the same time, what is sustainable for our planet. So
yes, absolutely.
Sorry for this long intro, but I just wanted to maybe elaborate on some important points here, and did you want me to go into my
it's great. I want to come back to this, but I'd like you to share your story, because I mean it's not exactly your average career choice.
That's true.
So how on earth did you get into it? What took you there? What was the journey that got you interested?
So basically, I decided to obtain my LLM, my master's in law, abroad. And I went to the Utrecht University in the Netherlands. And I studied law and economics, which is a methodology that you can apply to any field of law. And I chose space law because they had a lot of resources in that university library, and I was fascinated by the idea. And so I got two mentors, one for the economic side of things and one for the legal side of things. Uh-huh. And I got my master's in outer space law and economics, pretty much. So then I got back, and and I started working as a lawyer, as a classical lawyer, as they call it, and I was so miserable. Then eventually, you know, I started looking for ways in which I could expand and do something else or do something different and really honor the pioneer in me. And so this basically a month after starting my business, I enrolled in a PhD program in outer space law.
Wow.
So I was a bit crazy back then. I lived in fantasy land for a while because starting a business and starting a PhD program altogether is, let's say, even for the most ambitious, it's a lot.
Yeah, it's pretty intense.
But that's how I started.
Gosh, that is amazing. And so with what you're doing, you know, your PhD and the work you're doing at the moment, tell us a little bit more about the work that you're doing, the projects that you've got coming up.
Well, so basically, as you mentioned before, I'm very multifaceted. I just cannot get myself to just focus on one thing. So I am currently running a local coaching business. I just launched the global edition of it, and I'm also launching this new company in the space sector, so to speak, that will be a one-stop space shop for private space ventures, so that we will have a team of experts in various fields, specialists, that will be able to cover every consulting need of the company that we will consult, because we will basically be able to take care of their legal needs, of their risk mitigation, of their business development, and of course, I'm not going to be doing everything by myself. I am assembling the best people out there to bring to my clients, and it will start with a private space venture symposium, a one-day event that I will invite, hand-picked individuals to attend, and the plan is to take this on tour in the U.S. and then also in Europe, starting with London this fall. So this is the plan, please.
Goodness me. Okay, so from a PhD in outer space law, you've got a local coaching business in Slovenia, is that right?
Yes.
And you've taken that global. So what's the focus of your coaching business? Because I know you're multi-passionate. What do you help people do in their businesses?
Well, I work mostly with people who want to transition from a very high level position in their job and start their own business in the right way without wasting any more time or energy or money on the wrong path, and really help them holistically in the sense that we always focus both on the inner and outer strategies of success. Because I have found from my own story and journey and 4 years of tears that you cannot just rely on elements, single elements here and there. No matter how hard you try, you need the whole picture. You need all the pieces of the puzzle. And so I work with my clients on putting together a very solid structure, systems, and we work on positioning them in the right way so that they can become profitable very, very quickly. And they can keep that passion that got them to start their business even after the first initial fantasy land moments wear off.
Yeah.
So it's very common for business owners to hit a wall, to really become disillusioned about their businesses, and it's preventable. And so, of course, I also work with those who have already started a business but realize that they have hit a plateau and they want to move forward faster. But generally, that's who I work with the most. And I'll be also adding another division to my coaching business that will help established American, well, U.S.-based experts get more European clients. So that is coming, and I'm super excited about that division as well. Yeah.
That's interesting. So helping American experts get more European clients, because it is a different communication system we have, isn't it?
Oh, it's totally different. There are so many nuances, and then, of course, there are so many countries and cultures in Europe as well. But I feel that there is a lot that they could be doing and adding additional zeros to their bottom line if only they apply the strategies that I am developing behind the scenes, and as soon as they're ready to launch, you know, I will let the world know, because I feel that Europe is such an untapped market when it comes to coaching, and for some reason we really love to turn to American experts for advice for some reason.
Yeah, you know?
And so there is a part of the public for sure that will rather work with a U.S.-based coach than a local one, and I think that it's time that, you know, American coaches really start taking advantage of that. Why not? Because, you know, those people won't be necessarily open to working with local coaches anyhow. So
yeah.
We might as well get them help, right? So I'm we're very passionate about that division as well, as you can see. So there's a lot going on, for sure.
Wow, so that's fascinating. And it is all these nuances between, I mean, even we who speak the same language, the Americans, that, you know, the nuances between the Brits and the Americans, and then you take on the Germans and the French and the Spaniards and the Slovenians and everyone else. It's quite amazing. So, yeah, congratulations. That's incredible.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. No, I always feel like I'm just starting out with everything, no matter how much of the path I've already walked, because I feel that I'm evolving so fast, just as I'm sure everyone on the line feels as well for themselves, that it's always, every day is new to a certain degree, right? And it's always that there is always this sensation that there is so much more to come, that and the more we know, the more we know that we don't know anything, right?
No, I love that.
It's funny, but I never feel arrived. I never feel like, you know, this is it and I'm this huge success, even though I do remind myself to celebrate successes and milestones.
Which is very important,
Yeah, but, you know, there's this huge journey ahead of me. I have a lot of work to do, and as I always say, I feel that I'm on assignment, right? I have this big assignment to fulfill during this life. And I, you know, I have this really interesting conversation, and it lasted like 3 hours with a very special lady. Like, it was a couple of years ago. And basically, she channeled information in 3 hours about how the whole universe was structured. And she channeled in 10 steps my work for the next 50 years.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
So, you know, I feel very humbled by that. So I'm just, you know, I'm here to complete the work and to be open to where life leads me. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. I love that kind of stuff. It's just fantastic. And, I mean, you know, one of my big passionate things to talk about is inner peace for world peace. That's one of my big things. So how do you see, I mean, I can understand what you're talking about these meteors containing so many minerals, et cetera, that there may be sort of interspace wars and things like that down the future. If we don't preempt these things and set about creating structures and legal systems around them. So how do you think, you know, what's your view on peace in that sense, in bringing the whole space element into the future of peace?
Well, I feel that it's really important to combine the two aspects, the inner peace and then the outer peace.
Yeah.
You know, just as in business, with inner and outer strategies of success, we need to start within. So I love what you're up to. And the Peace Whisperer nickname, I love that.
Yeah.
That is where everything starts, because only a person that feels inner peace and that is not, you know, available to drama and conflict, and it's kind of like energetically above all of this and can be the peacekeeper, the peacemaker, can then also operate in the world with in relations with other people, so that they are a role model and an ambassador for outward peace, if that makes sense. So,
absolutely.
Of course, structures and systems are necessary, and of course, we have the legal system to govern it all, how we live together with one another, and it's definitely... All of these elements are important, and what I would love to add here, because I think it's appropriate, is that I'm not so sure that our attitude towards even space law, like, is right, because everything is circling around humans, and we treat everything in space as if it's ours. I'm not so sure it is. Anthropocentric view is really arrogant to a certain degree. So I think in order to long term, and I mean long term in terms of even several generations, I think we definitely need to be open to integrating all the knowledge that has to the surface around, you know, these energetic pieces, these invisible world pieces that so many people are not even acknowledging yet, and see how we can obtain better understanding of what's out there and how we can best relate to it. So, you know, I mean, I realize that not everybody is on the same page as me, but since I do believe in all of this, you know, I've been called a bridge between left and right brain. It's kind of like I'm a bridge between business world and academics, right? And I feel a bridge between the woo-woo world, so-called, and the, you know, serious left brain systems and structures. So, and it's fun, right? It's fun to be like the coordinator of sorts, but I really do, like, my big dream, if I can be super transparent, is to one day be able to either channel the information from other civilizations, even though I realize that's not the right word, because in my, you know, in my understanding, we are all souls that journey through different places in the universe or universes, so we are all aliens in a certain sense.
Yeah.
But let's say, you know, let's just for the sake of it, let's call it different other civilizations. I would love to be able to either channel their information for us, how they see us and how they want to for us to relate with them, or to find people who can, and then I can, you know, you kind of leverage their voice in the work that I would love to do in the field of meta law, which is an area, a sub-area of space law that deals with our relations with other civilizations.
Wow.
And that actually exists, but it's, of course, very underdeveloped. So it's more like we have some principles, but we have some principles set up, but there is so much work to do. And, you know, of course, you know, who knows if this is going to be something that our generation can move forward, or if this will be something for the future. But for sure, I feel called to at least try to contribute as much as I can, because I believe there's a reason why I was led to studying international outer space law, even led to study law in general, because I discovered that I'm not made to be a classical lawyer. I don't really see any other reason why the universe would lead me, right, to study law. So, kind of interesting, you know, and I love these different aspects of life that are a little mysterious the mystique gives it that extra, you know, flavor. And it's a lot more fun, and it's a lot more interesting to see what every day brings.
Yeah, and like you were saying earlier, it brings out the pioneering spirit in you.
Yeah,
which is something, you know, as an entrepreneur as well, it's something that I love to exercise, you know, to put out there, to seek, to search, to create. It's fascinating.
Yeah.
And I mean, and especially in space law, I mean, this is just, I mean, I remember when we first had this conversation in Florence, and I was just like, you do what?
Yeah, most people just smile and they don't know what to say.
Yeah.
And I get it, because this is, even lawyers, a lot of lawyers are not very familiar with this. You know, I went and looked through a study book for international public law for fourth-year law students. Well, you know, that was back in the day when there wasn't the Bologna system. So, you know, there was actually 4 years of law studies. But anyhow, there was like 3 or maybe 5 pages in a book, about 400, 500, 600 pages long, on international public law that was dedicated to space law. Like literally nothing.
Oh wow!
So, and we don't really have you know, students really diving into this topic in our country. I'm the first woman ever in my country that got a PhD in this field. And I was so lucky that my mentor took me under his wing, even though he was already retired when he started mentoring me, because he was literally the only person in the whole country that was qualified to do it. And I had to get a member of the committee for the defense of the dissertation from another country, because there were no people in my country that could do that. So, you know, it's like, it's time for all of us, like collectively, and there are of course some universities in some countries where space law has a lot more validity, that we come together and we make sure that we do not forget about the importance of these fields that are younger, but they play a major role in how society develops and evolves in the not so distant future.
Absolutely. Gosh, it is. It is about a coming together. That's just incredible. Wow. So I feel like we've already done a massive whirlwind and we're only halfway through. Oh gosh, it's just, we've been around space, we've traveled around the Earth already in 30 minutes.
Yeah, in a way. In a way, but I can tell you this, even if they offered me a free ticket right now to space, I wouldn't go, because I don't think it's safe enough yet.
Yeah.
Just as a side note, but it's definitely very, very fascinating. And I even worked for 2 years with a mentor, with a billionaire mentor who is a huge space fan and even trained to become an astronaut. So it's very impressive,
wow.
You know.
And
the business.
And what was that experience for you like, having a mentor? Because this is, you know, in the coaching world, whether it's coaching or mentoring. What did that give you, that experience?
Well, I have mentors all the time right now, and I'm in this huge year-long program at a super high level, the biggest investment I've ever made in myself. Freaked me out. I was nervous for days before signing up. It was a huge stretch. But, you know, that's the only way to really continue to grow.
Yeah,
to grow exponentially, and then to also, if you are a mentor, to be able to be in integrity when you sell your own packages. But like that particular coaching experience was really, really interesting and special, because I feel that I learned how to think as a business owner. Because
gosh, that's such a gift.
Yeah, it was amazing. Because being around a billionaire, you learn, you kind of, even through osmosis, kind of, you get to start thinking about making decisions and certain opportunities in business as she would, right? Like it all becomes a lot clearer as to how successful business owners make decisions, how fast they move. Speed of implementation is amazing, right? Like how fast they test ideas, how they approach launching a new business or a new venture, how they structure their days. Like I learned so much. I'm forever grateful to that mentor. She really changed me and changed my life forever. And you know, back then I wasn't necessarily ready for everything she had to offer me, but it came afterwards, right? It's kind of like as I grew as a person and as a business owner, as I stepped into the version of me who can see herself holding space for this type of big, bold business that I'm creating now, you know, now it's possible for me to implement what she taught me. Back then, in 2011, she was the first person to suggest that I started a space law consultancy. She said, you know, drop everything else, just focus on this. You can sell it for hundreds of millions of dollars in 20 years' time. And back then,
wow,
such a shock. You know, I couldn't even wrap my head around it. Like,
of course.
Back then, I was broke as a joke. Like, you know, for 4 years, I was crying all the time. I can remember those 4 years. I was just, you know, curled up on the couch under this yellow blankie, and I would cry and feel like, what the hell was wrong with me, right? Because I couldn't make my business work. And so to hear such a statement from a billionaire mentor who is a huge space fan, so she gets invited to NASA launches and stuff, so she knows what she's talking about, both from the business perspective and the space arena perspective. It was incredible. And
wow.
And I had to give myself enough space and time to become the person who can now do this and,
yeah,
you know, kind of start this business. It wasn't the right time for me personally before because I wasn't ready.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a journey, you know, being in business, it just shifts everything you knew to be real. And it turns it upside down several times. And then you come out of this amazing, amazing experience, a different person. And I feel a different person literally every day. It's really interesting because as time moves on, I look back and I hardly recognize myself, but in a good sense, kind of like in a sense that I know that I'm on the right track. I'm moving forward. I'm growing, even though maybe I feel the change internally first, and then it takes some time for the 3D manifestations to come after the shift. So, and it can be incredibly uncomfortable, but it's so worth it. So I want to transmit and can really share this experience and this passion with my clients, because I feel that being an entrepreneur is just simply the most amazing journey of personal and professional growth there is.
Absolutely. Oh, how exciting. Goodness me. So let's go back a little bit and talk about space tourism and exploration. I just want, because you touched on that right at the beginning, and I just wanted to go back and just open up that a little bit more, because it is something that we see Elon Musk talk about, or Richard Branson, or other people. So I just wanted to get your take on it before we dive into what being brilliant is for you.
Mm-hmm. Sure. What would you like to know?
Well, space tourism. I mean, we hear about it, but what, you know, what's really going on? Where is it at this point in time?
I believe it's on the verge of breaking through a very important, maybe even psychological barrier, right? Because it's going to become, it's going to go from being something that is accessible to only the most wealthy and well-connected people out there, to actually becoming something that anyone can dream of experiencing and actually experience, right? It's still going to require a significant investment, at least in the first year, for sure. But it will be reduced significantly. And as soon as space tourism becomes more mass market, other industries that are connected to it, that are in somehow in service of what will be going on, will develop. So there's going to be a huge surge in business opportunities, I believe. And also probably there's going to be this really important aspect of how people's perception of Earth will change, because studies have shown, and like in conversations with people who have been to space, have shown that like you return a different person. So I think it's going to just really accelerate the awakening that we already are experiencing in many, many different industries and in many circles. And it will just expedite it all across the globe, I believe. So
that,
of course, you know, of course, there's a lot to be said around competition among countries and companies, and how there's going to be an ever-growing need to make sure that all the regulations are very clear. Because right now, the biggest problem I see is not so much the lack of new regulations or, you know, something of that sort, that nature, but it's the clarity of the existing ones. Because right now, like, I'll go back to that example in terms of property, right? Because, like, right now, in terms of property, you can only own what is extracted, let's say, from asteroids or from planets. You cannot own it when it's still part of that particular, you know, body or asteroid or whatever. So at least that's the prevailing that's the prevailing theory, and potentially you could own asteroids under some assumptions, but you know, I don't want to get technical. But here's the thing: if you let me see, I kind of lost my train of thought for a bit. I was explaining how the uncertainties, right, in laws. So right now, as I mentioned before, it's not clear what kind of benefits will have to be shared. So the companies that are considering investing into space ventures, either because it's their company or because they're investors in space ventures, they can't really know what will happen, because if the international space law changes, and if there is consensus on this international level that there is going to be what the benefits will mean, that will definitely impact their profitability and the risks and all of it, right? And these ventures are incredibly costly, of course, because it's not a small feat to go into space. So so really, the uncertainty is in law, and that is actually something that law and economics as a methodology studies a lot, result in inefficient decisions, right? So it might be that the current situation is actually preventing a lot more business to start booming and thriving, because there are companies who are not, you know, they feel the weight of that uncertainty on their bottom line because they don't know what's going to happen. So kind of like I'm trying to keep it as understandable as possible, but that's something that will definitely have to change and shift and get a lot clearer as we go, but it's also to be expected because, you know, as any other field of law, it will mature with time and with additional technological advances and with additional, you know, needs that will be coming up as companies and countries, you know, venture into space more and more. And we know that like a lot has shifted in the last, you know, decades. And now the private space sector and partnerships between private and public have been on the forefront, not so much just the countries as it was when the five international space law treaties were adopted in the 60s and the 70s. So
it's just incredible. The work you have cut out for yourself is amazing.
One thing is true. I will never be bored.
And that's for sure.
My husband either, right? Because like, I always gonna be joking and tell him, well, at least you won't be bored ever with me.
You'll never ever be bored. No.
Just
amazing. So this is Amy Hackett-Jones with episode number 33 of the Being Brilliant radio show. And I'm talking to Dr. Martina Zork, who is a multi-passionate entrepreneur and business owner, and who has a PhD in international outer space law. If there is anybody out there listening who would like to ask Martina a question, if you're in the States, the number to call in is 646-716-7979. That's 646-716-7979. And if you're anywhere else in the world, send me a Facebook message. and if anybody wants to get in touch with you, by the way, I know your website is getfluentinbusiness.com. And you have a Facebook group, which is called Get Fluent in Business as well, as a Facebook page, Get Fluent in Business. I love this. It's all the same.
I'm sorry, it's because I love foreign languages. So that's how the name came to be, yeah.
That's wonderful. And you're Slovenian by origin.
Yes. Well, Slovenian, half Croatian. But I was raised to be Slovenian because my parents said that if it was going to be a girl, then she would be Slovene. And if it was a boy, it was going to be Croatian. So I'm Slovenian.
Oh, wonderful. Fantastic. Okay. So, yes, if anybody wants to call in, it's 646-716-7979. So I want to move now into being brilliant and what this means for you. Usually I ask my guests to come up with three things that our listeners can take away from your life journey and your story so far of what it means to be brilliant.
Well, for me, being brilliant means to never give up, to go after your dreams no matter what, no matter how hard it gets, to persevere, to be resilient, to believe in yourself even when it's really, really challenging. Yeah. And, you know, if you need to, borrow the belief of your mentor or the people who love you and can see past your insecurities. But definitely the brilliance comes with the path, the journey, with the wisdom, right? It's something earned. It's something, I don't feel it's something that you necessarily are born with. But it's acquired. You earn it through all the experience and all the tribulations that you go through. And you come out on the other side of the tunnel a stronger you, somebody who you can really be proud of, not because of the eventual achievement, but because of the fact that you persevered when everybody else would, or almost everybody else would have given up.
Yeah.
So that is my definition, my personal definition of being brilliant. And to answer your other part of the question about the three big takeaways or thoughts or tips for the audience, here's what I would say. First of all, And that is all, this is all based on my personal experience, and I learned it the hard way, believe me. So I would really love to spare at least one person on the line the heartaches that I had to go through. So first of all, really, really take on a holistic approach to entrepreneurship. Working on your inner and your outer strategies of success simultaneously as a whole. You cannot just chase bright, shiny objects and believe that somehow, you know, the magic pill will save you. It's really about aligning your money story, your relationship with money, your love consciousness, your money mindset, your success mindset, right? If we look at it, you know, in a more even, you know, bird's eye perspective.
Yep.
And then aligning it with your positioning, with your sales, with your marketing, with how you run the business, how you delegate the systems, the structures, the vision, like everything that goes into being a successful entrepreneur and a successful business owner. And at the same time, you know, everything that goes into growing as a human and as a soul. So, like, you cannot, I mean, I'm sorry, it's hard work. I know, you know, it's not for the faint of heart. But if you want to succeed, that's the way to go. There are no shortcuts. There are no overnight successes. All of us are success in the making. And it's you know, there we reach these milestones and we grow, and it's amazing all the gifts that we get on our journey, but it never stops, and it's definitely not easy. Mm. It's not always, you know, all roses and, you know, it's really not. Even though, like, I did expect that's why I call it the fantasy land that a lot of entrepreneurs start in. Like, you expect it, like, all of a sudden you'll have a million people on your list and a ton of money coming in, recurring revenue, and these waterfalls of opportunities, right? But then you realize that you need to work for it. And I'm not talking about, you know, the low vibrational sense of the word and, like, sacrificing and being a victim and so on. I love working towards my goals. You know, I love the journey. I love every minute of it. And even those minutes, those times when, you know, what I'm doing is something that is not exactly what I would choose necessarily for that moment, it still gives me, it brings about a lesson or an opportunity to grow, to delegate more, whatever, right? But it's still an incredible blessing. It's still a miracle to be able to be on this path for yourself and to savor the freedom of being an entrepreneur every single day and have the luxury of being creative and being in charge of your own life and your own business and who you spend your time with and what kind of choices you make. It's just invaluable. So that is number one, holistic approach.
Yeah. Amazing. Thank you.
You're welcome. Number two, understand and apply proven working models across industries because it makes it easy for you to stand out. So just as Cirque du Soleil, that is so famous, combined theater, right, and circus, can for sure apply something into your own industry that is successful in another industry and will appear as incredibly innovative in yours. So, for example, I will be hosting a virtual summit in the space sector, in the space field. And I believe that it's going to come across as very fresh because I haven't seen it done yet, even though it's a very common model in the coaching industry, to give you an example. So that is a really cool lesson that I learned from that billionaire mentor that I mentioned. and that is also why I called my coaching brand get fluent in business, because I want to be able to show my clients, because I think my talent is mostly in strategy, right? And I want to be able to show my clients how they can use different models from different industries to have even greater success in their own. So that is number two. Cross-pollination, as I call it.
I love it.
and then number three is fast, intuitive, and strategic implementation of all the necessary elements in the right order. And if you have noticed, every word counts here, so I will repeat it.
Yes, please do.
Fast, intuitive, and strategic implementation of all the necessary elements in the right order. You know, as a lawyer by training, I have been taught that every word needs to mean something.
Yes.
Otherwise, you can dismiss it, right? So, like, in this, literally in this sentence or in this phrase, every word counts, because you need to implement quickly. You need to use your intuition and your strategic thinking skills. You need to have all the necessary elements, and you need to put them in place in the right order. Otherwise, you end up with an Emmental-style business with a lot, you know, the Emmental cheese with a lot of holes. so that's really not what you want. Believe me, I've been there, and I've done that, and now it's time to move on and to really approach everything in a lot more systematic way. And the right order is something that so many entrepreneurs skip, because they either start chasing that bright, shiny object, or they function out of fear. And so they make decisions that are really not efficient for them. And then all of a sudden, they are entangled in this web of constant work, no play or little play, being underpaid, very frustrated, very overwhelmed, and it's really tough for them to see a way out, because they feel that their plate is already so full, they can't possibly picture another thing on it. And and that's where mentors come in so handy, because they really help you clear the plate first of everything that is not serving you. And then you can focus on the right things in the right order.
Amazing. Thank you for clarifying all of that.
You're welcome. So I love talking about this stuff.
I know, I do too. So it was summing up. It was number one, take on a holistic approach to entrepreneurship, both the inner and outer pieces. Number two is understanding and applying working models across industries, cross-pollination. I love that. And number three, intuitive and strategic implementation of all the necessary elements in the right order. Did I get that right?
Yes.
Wonderful.
Perfect.
Awesome. Amazing. So this webinar, is it a webinar you're going to be doing?
Yes, coming up very shortly.
Summit. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Is that something that you can share with the public, or is that something that...
Oh, absolutely. I would love for all of you to attend. It's going to be called... Well, it is called, because it's already ready for you to claim your spot. It's free. It's my gift to you. And it's titled The Thriving Transition: How to Replace Your Salary with a Successful Online Business in as Little as 6 Months.
Oh.
Yeah. Because I don't want any more people to make the mistakes that I have made. it's time to move on and focus on our contributions in the world, right? And and as long as we try to figure out how to do business, we cannot fully be focused on what it is that is our brilliance and our assignment here on Earth in this lifetime.
Yeah. Amazing. So, and I have one more, maybe two questions if we've got time. But the one of them is, you talk about intuition, taking fast, intuitive, and strategic implementation. What would you say to people? Because we hear about the female intuition or your gut instinct and that sort of thing. What tips could you give somebody listening in on how to improve their intuition, how to sort of get more in touch with that so that they can hear that little voice inside or that gut feeling?
That's a great question. Well, I would say get comfortable being in silence.
I love that.
You know, for me, that was very, very tough at first, but I love silence now, and I get to hear a lot more of my inner wisdom when I'm just allowing that space, when there is silence, when I'm not bombarded with all sorts of, you know, sensory stimuli, right? So silence is just such a gift. And then if you ask for guidance, the universe or your inner self, your higher self, however you want to call it, and you spend enough time in conscious silence, then I feel that you do receive the answers.
What kind of questions can you ask of the universe, you know, to somebody who's listening to this for the first time?
Well, you know, I must say I really follow my intuition with that one. In the sense that I ask the question that is relevant for that particular answer that I want to get. But I try to really be very attentive and careful in how I form it, because there are good, bad, like bad, good, and better questions, right? And best questions, whatever. Because if you ask, how can you, you know, see something, or like if you ask for the universe to show you the solution, or to wake up, let's say you go to bed and you ask to have the solution when you wake up, or you ask in the morning, what is the best next step that I can take right now to get closer to my XYZ goal today, right?
Perfect.
So something that is really, that will give you the right answer, an answer that you can work with, an answer that is very, you know, valuable in its message as to what to do, who to be, what actions to take, versus why is this happening to me, right? Which is really not something that you can then move forward with. So,
not a good question, that one.
But don't overthink it. You know, this is your conversation with the universe and with yourself. So it's not supposed to be formal and structured, I think.
Amazing. Wow. Well, thank you so much.
Well, thank you. I've been having a blast. I love this show.
Yeah, me too.
I hope the audience is enjoying the conversation at least half as much as I am.
I know. Well, I've had somebody on Facebook. Her name is Zasha Hall, and she's reposted the link and said, "I'm listening to the show and it's blowing my mind."
Excellent.
So,
excellent.
Thank you. Thank you, Zasha, for reposting. So this is Amy Hackett-Jones, episode number 33 of the Being Brilliant radio show, and I've been interviewing Dr. Martina Zork, who is a multi-passionate entrepreneur and business owner, as well as having a PhD in international outer space law. And goodness me, if you've only jumped in halfway through this, then be sure to listen to the replay, which I'll be posting in about 24 hours, because this is the information and knowledge and wisdom that Martina has is just incredible, as well as the passion she has for space, interspace law, international space law even. So you can find her at www.getfluentinbusiness.com. She also has a Facebook group called Get Fluent in Business and a Facebook page called Get Fluent in Business. So, Martina, thank you so much. It's been a huge pleasure to have you here.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you so much. And again, I believe we haven't shared a link to the free webinar. May I share it?
Please do.
It's simply getfluentinbusiness.com/webinar. Mm-hmm. And you can just sign up and then join me, and there's going to be a replay. But I have a special surprise for those who will be with me live. So if you can, try to be there live with me. And I'm just so excited and grateful for spending this time with you. And Amy, again, thank you so much for the invitation. Really, you made my day. Thank you.
Oh, well, you made mine too.
You're awesome. You're so brilliant. You know, it's always such a pleasure to talk to you. And I look forward to all the conversations to come.
Yeah, absolutely. Wonderful. So that was getfluentinbusiness.com/webinar. Be sure to go check it out, everyone.
Thank you
so much for listening. Be sure to tune in 2 weeks from now. And in the meantime, everyone, go out there, be your brilliant selves, be the lighthouse, shine your own light no matter how fierce the storm, and go out and be brilliant. Thank you so much, everyone. See you next time. Bye for now.
Thank you. Bye.
I can do anything, I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want, I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Napa Know How.
A Napa guy knows more isn't always better, unless we're talking about full-size vans. These beasts do more than get you from A to B. They have so much space a man can live in it. With shag carpeting, waterbed, and a sweet lava lamp, these mobile abodes have all the comforts of home. With quality parts and plenty of Napa know-how, you can keep the original tiny house running longer, stronger. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how!
Hear that? Those aren't just any emojis. Those are Fiesta faces. And they're popping up all summer long at Fiesta Aquatica. A splash and birthday bash featuring flamingo parades, dance parties, DJs, and more. Plus all the slides, splashes, and pools you love. Join the party with a splash pass. Pay for a day and Fiesta all season. Limited time offer. Hurry while supplies last.